Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them," everybody say them, "loose them, and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you." Somebody say, "The king's coming. Lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And also a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that your word gives us instruction and guidance in our life. Even though it happened thousands of years ago, it's amazing how it's still current and relevant to our day-to-day living. And I pray that you would speak to us by your word. I pray that you would anoint me under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the anointing to speak the word of God in truth. I thank you that your word is powerful and has the ability to transform our life. And so I pray that every single person that is here today, that we would submit and surrender to the word of God, and that you would allow us to be taught and walk in all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what we call the Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life. And in this instance that we just read in the scripture, Jesus is choosing to now come into Jerusalem. And if you know the Bible, you know the life of Jesus, you'll know that there were times when his family thought it was the right time, or his disciples thought it was his right time to reveal himself. But this is the moment that he chose to reveal himself and acknowledge the fact that he had come as the King of Kings. He had come as the Lord of Lords. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of the living God. And a lot of people get confused as to when Jesus would heal them. Why would he tell them to be quiet? Why would he tell them to not spread this news? It's because Jesus understood the timing of God, and he knew that it was saved for such a special time, this Holy Week, when he was going to enter into Jerusalem and he was going to reveal himself as the king that had been prophesied about for thousands and thousands of years. And so this is the day that we recognize and we remember that what all the scholars and the Bible calls the triumphal entry, when Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem as the king that was riding on a donkey. And in doing so, we don't realize this, but he wasn't just hitching an Uber into the city. He was actually establishing himself. He was coming to reveal himself as the Messiah, as the King of Kings. But what they didn't realize, the people that begin to throw their clothes on the ground and the people that begin to cut tree branches down, palm branches is why we call it Palm Sunday, and lay them on the ground and wave them and shout Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. What they didn't realize is while they were praising him and they were magnifying him and they were welcoming him into the city, is he didn't come to establish the type of kingdom that they thought he was going to establish. You see, they thought he was coming to wage war against the Romans. They thought that he was coming to break down the political system that was holding them captive and overtaxing them and causing them trouble and mistreating them and misusing them. But he came not just to save them naturally, but he wanted to save their souls. But they didn't grasp this understanding. How do we know that? We know that because just some 5 days later, the same crowd that cried Hosanna is the crowd that began to cry crucify him. And they wanted him dead. They wanted him crucified. And they wanted Barabbas released instead of Jesus being released. So they didn't have an understanding of the kingdom that he was coming. And so even though Jesus knew that he was drawing near to his death. Jesus fully knew why he was coming to Jerusalem. And the reason he was coming, he came with this purpose in mind, the cross of Calvary. When Jesus was on that Mount of Olives with his disciples and he sent them to get a donkey, he didn't send them to get a donkey and a colt so that he could ride in and he could establish his preeminence and set up an earthly kingdom with a palace and with a throne room and with, you know, rulers and dignitaries. No, he said he sent them to get the donkey and the colt because he knew he was riding that donkey and that colt to his death. And he still chose to come. He came with that purpose in mind. You know why? Because if he didn't die, we could never truly live. And he'd already told us, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But he understood if he didn't die, we could never truly live. And so even though he knew the time of his death was drawing near, he still willfully chose to enter that city. Imagine knowing the suffering, the pain, the horror, the agony that was waiting him. He knew it. He didn't walk into it and all of a sudden they ambushed him and he was like, I'm caught off guard. He knew what was coming and he willfully rode into the midst of it. Why? Because he loved us and he loved the Father that much that he would be willing to do whatever necessary to restore the creation that had fallen and was separated from God back to the Father. Now, all four Gospels recount Jesus' entry to Jerusalem, but only Matthew give such noted detail. And that's why I've chosen this today, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all cover Jesus sending two disciples into the village to get a donkey that is tied up, and he instructs them to loose the donkey and to bring it to him. But only Matthew bears the witness of both a donkey and a colt. Did you notice that when we were reading that? Not a colt. A colt, okay? There's a difference in a colt and a colt, okay? A colt is the foal of a donkey, the baby of a mother donkey. And it's only Matthew that says, where Jesus says, I want you to get the donkey and the foal. I want you to get the mother donkey and the colt. And so does this mean, though, that there's discrepancy within the Word of God? Does this imply error in the Holy Scripture that, well, Matthew says a donkey and a colt, but only Luke and Mark say a donkey? No, it doesn't at all. Some people may try to twist it that way. Some people may try to imply such, but it's not true. And the reason we know this is only Matthew records the prophecy that was uttered by the prophet Isaiah, which says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay? So he includes this specific prophecy. So does that mean that Mark and Luke are lying or that Matthew is mistaken? No. So I'll give you an example of this. Say you had three friends come over to your house last night, Sam and John and Ben, okay? We'll just use Sam, John, and Ben. And they come over to the house. You guys have a great time. You hang out. And then you meet somebody at church today, and you guys get into a conversation, and they bring up your mutual friend, Ben. And you say, oh, yeah, Ben. He's a great guy, man. He was just over at the house last night. We were watching the Masters. I really hope Scotty Scheffler takes home the green jacket today. And you begin to talk about these things, right? And you begin to say it. But you only reference Ben. Does that mean that Sam and John didn't come to your house? No. Does that mean you're lying to this person? No. It means that you only gave them the information that was applicable to the conversation that you're currently in. So Matthew is the only person in the Gospels that references the prophecy that talks about both a donkey and a foal. And so therefore he references the fact that Jesus sent two disciples to get a donkey and a foal, but the other two don't reference the prophecy. And so they're not lying. It just wasn't applicable to the reference that they're making for that specific time. So there is no discrepancy in the Word of God, okay? So I chose Matthew because of this detail and because of this style, and today I want to look at his account so that what can we see from this? What can we learn from this account as we look on this Palm Sunday? And my title for this morning is Stir the City, okay? If you're taking notes, write that at the top of your notes this morning. Stir the City. One of the things I admire most about the life of Jesus as I read and as I study who he was is the fact that no matter where he went, things happened. It doesn't matter if he went to Nazareth or if he went to Jericho or if he went to Galilee or if he went to Bethlehem or if he went to Bethany. Anywhere Jesus went, things begin to happen because Jesus's life was anything but boring. And I want to tell you today, for those of you that think life as a Christian is boring because you don't get to do that and you don't get to do this, what you don't understand is life with Jesus isn't boring. It's the most exciting, life-giving, fulfilling thing that you could ever possibly experience in your life. It's when you are led by the Spirit and you have his power dwelling inside of you and you're walking with Jesus, because Jesus said, the same work shall you do and greater work shall you do because I go to my Father. So if you're living with him, he has endued you with power from on high through his Holy Spirit to do the same things that he did. So if you read about Jesus praying for somebody and they get healed, you have the ability to walk in that same power. Everywhere that he went, people got healed. People always received ministry. But you know what? Sometimes people got mad. And sometimes people wanted to stone him. Not everybody, when Jesus showed up on the scene and started doing things that were miraculous and that were awesome and that were great, not everybody was happy about it. Some people got frustrated. Some people got mad. Some people wanted to stone him. Some people wanted to just get rid of Jesus because of what he was doing. But it didn't stop him from doing what he was called to do. He always stirred up the city wherever he went. Parents received their dead children back into their arms with renewed life and vitality. Demons were cast out. Lepers were cleansed. Water became wine. 5 loaves and 2 fish became a big enough meal to feed over 5,000 people. Well, some scholars say 10 to 15,000 people with 12 baskets left over. Water got walked on, okay? Everywhere that Jesus went, something miraculous and awesome happened. And nothing was different on the day when he made his way into Jerusalem. Verse 10 says that when he entered Jerusalem, that the whole city was stirred up. When Jesus came in, riding on that colt that no man had ever ridden before, and there were palm branches on the ground, and there people's clothes were laid out, when he entered the city of Jerusalem, the entire city got stirred up, and something was moved inside of their heart, and they began to ask, who is this guy riding on a donkey? They didn't know anything about him. They weren't sure what was going on, but they knew, I've got to know who that is. I've got to find out what is it that's different about that person, because when Jesus shows up on the scene, things begin to change. And it's really quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. You guys need to get with me a little bit, okay? I want to see Fort Payne, Alabama stirred up with a passion to see Jesus. I want to see DeKalb County start asking, what is it about you that's different? What, when you come here, all of a sudden people started getting healed and demons got cast out and things got better since you started working here. Why is it that our work environment has gotten better and our profit margins have gone up? Why is it that when you moved into this neighborhood that crime went down and joy went up? Why is it that when the well Fort Payne was planted here, people stopped being broken and hurt and wounded and they started getting healed and happy and joyful and full of the Lord and full of the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus shows up, things get stirred up. We didn't plant this church and you didn't get saved to just blend in, to fit in. We came here to stir people up, and it's gonna make some people mad. Not everybody's gonna be happy when the whole city gets stirred up, wanting to know who Jesus is. We came here to see backsliders get set back on fire. We came here to see the deceived and the hurting get healed by the truth that is in Jesus Christ. I want to see this city stirred up because the king is coming, lowly and on a donkey. But listen, like I said, not everybody's going to like it. But you know who usually got upset when Jesus showed up? It wasn't the sinners. It wasn't the people that were bound to addiction, that were, you know, that were hurting, that were broken, that need healing. You know who got mad? Religious people got mad. The Pharisees got mad. The Sadducees got mad. They were sad, you see, because they didn't have the joy of Jesus inside of them. They were upset. They got mad every single time that Jesus showed up and somebody got mad. It was always the religious people that were like, what are you doing messing with our system? We have a system in place. What are you talking about? You know, some people may look at the way that we do church, and why do you guys in the middle of worship call people to the altar? Why do you sing with such passion? Why do you lay hands on people and pray for people? Why do you call things out? Why are you guys so weird, right? It may mess with some people's religion. It may mess with some people's way that they've always done things, and it was typically the religious people that were stuck in a rut. They got mad and angry when Jesus showed up. It was the type of people that would say, hey, man, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, man. Jesus wasn't a don't rock the boat kind of guy. Jesus, everywhere that he went, miracles happened. Lives got changed. And everybody in the city began to hear about it. I'm telling you right now, as the Well Fort Payne, we won't be silent. I'll tell you this too. We won't be neutral. We will stand on the side of righteousness. We will stand on the side of the Word of God. We will stand on the side of the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit did not go out with the apostles, but we believe that it's still in healing. We believe in words of wisdom. We believe in words of knowledge. We believe in gifts of tongues and the interpretations of tongues. We believe in the gift of faith. We believe in miracles happening. We will not be neutral so that we are politically correct to everybody else, because I have decided I want to see this city stirred up with a passion to know Jesus like people have never seen before. And if it takes me being a little weird and everybody not understanding me and thinking those people are weird and they're crazy and I don't know what they're doing, but people somewhere are going to start saying, what is it? Who is it? What's different about you? What changed when you walk into the room and you can say, it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's not me. It's not because I'm special. It's not because I'm better than you. It's because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus Christ is living inside of me, and I will not stop until all of DeKalb County has heard that there is a God in heaven that loves them, and there is a man named Jesus of Nazareth who walked on this earth, was sinless, and still died in place of every single one of us who have committed sin, who have been wrong, but he didn't stay in that grave. He was resurrected on the third day, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. I want people to know that God loves them enough to send his son to die for their sins and to redeem them. And we won't stop until this city gets stirred up and set on fire with revival. Everybody won't like it, and that's all right. But the people begin to cry out, Hosanna, which means save us. They begin to cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which shows me that these people had an understanding of the Messiah and the prophecy of him coming. Because if you go over to Psalm chapter 118, it's a psalm that would be declared on their way to Jerusalem, and it would say exactly that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It says, save us. And they were quoting Psalm chapter 118. So they obviously had an understanding of what we now know as scripture, what they had as the law. They understood in David's writing, and they were recognizing this is the Messiah. They were coming in contact with, and they were seeing, and they were realizing, this is the Messiah. And I want us to be people. What they saw in Jesus, I want people to see in us. That when they saw him coming on that donkey, they begin to go, I need to be saved. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the Son of David. I want us to be people that have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us, so that when we walk in to the grocery store or to the bank or when we clock into work, the presence of God is so strong and permeating out of our life that people begin to realize there is a Savior and they need to be saved by him just like we were saved by him. That they would begin to say, one of my favorite things in the book of Acts, because they were walking with Jesus so closely, people would ask them, what do I need to do to be saved? You see, in today's age, we, the church, when I say we, I'm not talking about us, but if the shoe fits, we'll wear it. We so often, as the church culture in America today, try to buy people into the kingdom of God. I'm not against any of the things I'm about to name. They may all have their place at certain times. Easter egg hunts. Outreaches where we give out hot dogs and candy just to draw a crowd. And we're trying to, if our motives aren't right, there's nothing wrong with blessing the city and giving. We do things like that. But if our intent is we're trying to buy them into the kingdom with the free hot dogs or with the Easter egg hunt or with giving them a turkey box at Thanksgiving time. You see, the people in the book of Acts, the church, they were so walking under the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit that people asked them, what do I need to do to be saved? But we have to beg people just to come to church. We got to beg people just to get them through the doors. They had such a revelation of Jesus on them that people begin to cry out, what do I need to do to be saved? Because whatever you're walking in, I know that that's what I need on my life. I believe that Christians ought to have the best life, and we ought to draw out questions in other people's life to go, what do I need to do to have joy like you have, to have peace like you have, to have the happiness that you have? What do I need to do so that my my children aren't messed up and running around crazy. Why are your children so good? And why do they love you? And why do they obey you? And why are they so kind? And why aren't they just got their nose stuck in an iPad all the time? And you can say it's because Jesus is the Lord of our life, and he's given us peace, and he's given us happiness, and he's given us life, and life more abundant. And they go, what can I do to get some of that? What must I do to be saved? Anybody else want to see the city stirred up by revival and a mighty move of God? Back to our story. Jesus told his disciples, he said, go get me a donkey and go get me her colt. Why a donkey and a colt? Let's talk about that for a moment. Because like I said, Mark and Luke don't reference both a donkey and a colt. They only reference one. But Matthew, he points out that Jesus said, I need the donkey that's tied up, and I need the colt. I have need of them. I want you to go get them. Well, the first reason that he needed both of them is because there was a prophecy that needed to be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his life. And if he had not gotten a donkey and a colt, what was prophesied by Zechariah would have been left unfulfilled. But Jesus didn't leave anything unfulfilled. But we also realize that both animals serve a purpose. Because God doesn't do anything by accident or without purpose. If it's in the Word of God, it's in there for a reason. So if he sent for a donkey and a colt, it wasn't just because Jesus that day felt like riding both of them, okay? It was because he had a purpose. It wasn't that Jesus said, go get me a donkey, and they came back and said, oh, well, she had her colt, and we felt bad to leave it and take mama, so we brought both of them. No, he sent for both of them. Why? Because the mother donkey, he specifically says that she's tied up. She would have lived bound and in captivity for years and years, constantly burdened with carrying the weight of her master and transporting goods over dusty roads and being ridden and being used for hard labor, knowing nothing but bondage and hardship. But she had a foal who the Bible says had never been ridden. A burden had never been laid upon the back of this young foal, this young colt. It wasn't burdened like its mother, and it wasn't bridled by bondage. And Matthew writes that Jesus says he wants both of them. It also says that Jesus rode on both of them. How did he ride two animals? It's simple. He didn't ride them at the same time, okay? For those of you that are getting this mental picture of someone trying to ride two donkeys at one time, okay, just put that out of your mind. Scholars all conclude and believe he did not ride the two donkeys at the same time. It simply says he rode both of them. It doesn't say he rode them both simultaneously, okay? So he rode one, and then he rode the other. And most scholars agree that what he would have done is the Bible says they were on the Mount of Olives, so they were in a mountainous region, and they had a trek and a journey to get to Jerusalem. So most likely he would have ridden the mother donkey through that region down to the entrance of the city, dismounted from the mother donkey, and then mounted up on the colt that had never been ridden to ride through the city. Why would he do that? Because for one, the colt, the foal, would not have been strong enough to carry Jesus through the mountainous region, but the mother donkey was strong enough to get him through the mountains, up the hills, and back down through the valley. She could have carried the burden, but the colt couldn't, but he could walk in the level streets of the city and carrying Jesus. Now, what's significant about this? I'll tell you what it is. Number one, the mother represents the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel had been under the law of Moses, which became a bondage to them. It became a heavy thing. In fact, the whole reason that God sent Jesus was, yes, to redeem us from our sins, but also to establish a new covenant that wasn't based upon killing animals, and it wasn't based upon all the laws that had been given. He came to establish a new covenant because there is nobody that could carry the weight of the old covenant. It was impossible to keep. Nobody could constantly stay perfect. You were always in a cycle of being impure and then having to be purified, being impure and then having to be purified. And so this mother donkey, she represents Israel, because Israel had now lived for hundreds of years. And in fact, when Jesus tried to talk to them about it one time, they said, we're the children of Moses. We've never been in bondage to anybody. But what they didn't realize is they were in bondage to the law. It was a weight that was bridled on them that kept them from truly understanding who they could be and what God had for them. So that donkey represents Israel, but the colt that had never been ridden represents the Gentiles who had never known bondage of the law. They'd never known the weight and the responsibility of what it means to carry religious obligation and duties that happen. So it represents both of them. But listen, what I want to show you is Jesus said, I need both of them. You see, we could have been the colt that was left at the tying block. But Jesus said, go get them. Because I want to use both of them. I don't just want to use Israel. And I don't just want to use the Gentiles. Listen, Israel still needs to be saved and needs to come to know that Jesus, the Messiah, is truly the Son of the living God who did live on this earth, who did die for our sins, and who was resurrected. In fact, it's amazing to know, did you know that Isaiah chapter 53 is taken out of the Hebrew Bible? Go read Isaiah 53 this week, especially with Holy Week. It's the one that talks about him being bruised for our transgressions and him being wounded for our iniquity. Upon him was placed the chastisement of the world. The rabbis took it out. Why? Because so many people were coming to the synagogue going, who is this talking about? What is this? What's this talking about? And finally, they got so frustrated with people saying, this is Jesus, isn't it? This is the guy that died on the cross, that walked the hill of Calvary, that went down the Via Dolorosa, that carried the cross on his back. That's him, isn't it? And they finally got so fed up with people seeing Jesus in Isaiah 53 that they just took it out of the text entirely in the Hebrew Bible. But it's amazing what he did and what he endured for us. But he said, I want Israel and I want the Gentiles. Do you realize, it's amazing to have a gentleman named Israel here today. It's so good to have you. That's an awesome name. But isn't it amazing that he chose to graft us in? I don't know about you, but I'm not full-blooded born Jew, but I've been grafted in. I'm still a son of God. And he said, I need the mother donkey that represents Israel, and I need the young donkey that's never been ridden because I need both of them. Now, some may take issue with this statement. In fact, I've heard some people take issue. And they say, that's a poor translation because Jesus doesn't need anything. My question would be, then why did he say that he did? Because if you look it up, it's not a mistranslation. It literally means necessity or need. The difference between, though, his need and our need is he chose to need us. He chose to need you and to need me to stir up this city and to bring revival to this county. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. God has chosen. He wants to use you to bring his kingdom to the earth. Listen, the donkey and the foal could not just represent Israel and the Gentiles, but it all could also represent someone that's lived a long, hard life of bondage. That you've been weighed under addiction and problems and issues. And then it could also represent someone that's young, inexperienced. Doesn't have a bad past behind them. But Jesus says, no matter if you've lived a difficult, tough, sinful life, or you've lived a life that seems to be pure and good and great, I want to use both of you. No matter where you've come from, Jesus chooses to need you. But that word in need in the Greek, it doesn't just mean necessity. It's the word kria, and it means want. I love that. Because Jesus said, go get the donkey, go get the foal. I want them. Think about that. He wants you for his kingdom. He wants to use you. He wants to let his presence flow through you. So don't think for a moment that he doesn't. I love that it could be translated where he says, if anybody asks you about this donkey and this foal, you just tell them the Lord wants them. When the enemy comes calling and knocking at your door and trying to keep you from being used by God, you just remind yourself and you remind him, the Lord has need of me. The Lord wants me. He wants to use me greatly because he said, the same work shall I do in greater works. That doesn't make me better than Jesus. It doesn't even make me equal with Jesus. But I know and I have a revelation from the Father that he wants to use me in his kingdom. Don't think for a moment he doesn't want to use you. He thought so highly of you that he thought you were worth dying for. Don't think Jesus didn't count the cost. He saw the cross ahead of him and he decided it's worth it. Why? For every single one of us sitting in this room today, for every single person that's outside of these doors, for every single person that has ever been born and breathed a breath on this earth, he thought we were worth dying for. From the greatest to the least, he says, they're all the same to me. Some people would say, be used by God, be wanted by God. I don't have the personality for that. I don't have the training for that. I don't know the Bible. I can't pray in front of people. I don't know everything I should know. It's not you they need. It's him. You see, it wasn't the donkey that was significant. It was who was riding on the donkey. So if you'll be willing to be a donkey, he will use you to be glorified in your life. You don't have to know everything. The foal didn't know a thing. Had never had a person on its back before, but it was willing, and it was there. The donkey that had been bound and probably mistreated for years after years, he still chose to use that donkey. You don't have to know everything. Listen, donkeys are known for stubbornness and just straight up being dumb. And he said, I want them. You might be stubborn. You might be dumb. God still wants you. Everybody else might not want you, but God wants you. It'll be all right. It's not you they need to see. It's the light of Christ. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's not you they need to see. It's Jesus inside of you. When people on your job see Jesus in you, it will stir something up inside of them. You won't have to twist their arm into coming to church. You won't have to shove the Bible down their throat. Nowhere does it say that Jesus, before entering Jerusalem, He didn't send disciples out to canvass the area. Y'all post flyers. Get me an ad on Facebook, right? Take out a spot in the newspaper. Nothing wrong with doing that for church or for the advancement of the kingdom. But Jesus just showed up and people started wondering, what is it with this guy? Who is this? What's going on? Why? Because people could see a difference in them. I wonder, can people see Jesus in me? Can people see Jesus in you? When you go to work, what do they see? Do they see Jesus? Or do they see somebody that's negative? Somebody that's hopeless? Somebody that is one person at work and another person when they go to church? Who do they see and what do they see? I hope they see Jesus in me. I hope they see Jesus in you. Because when he entered Jerusalem, they started asking, who's this guy? I could see someone over in their stall and they're selling, you know, fresh honey, or they're selling figs or something. And all of a sudden they're like, what's going on over there? What's everybody shouting about? Why do I hear Hosanna? Blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What's going on over there? What is all that commotion? And I can see it. It's that the king had entered the city. As he had come riding on that lowly donkey, the Bible says that the whole city was stirred up. This is a miracle. And I want to emphasize on this for a moment. I'm just crazy enough to think that we can see the whole city stirred up for Jesus. Why? Because it happened in the Bible. If it happened in the Bible, he can do it again. And if you don't believe that he can, then you don't believe that God can do anything. Everything, I mean. He stirred up the whole city. I believe that he can do that here. And when I say the whole city, I'm talking about all 14,877 according to the 2020 census and all the surrounding areas. I'm believing he can stir every single one of them up, because if it happened, it can happen here. And when people start asking, what is this? Who is this? What's happening? What's this all about? The answer won't be, oh, the well's holding a service. Pastor Spencer's preaching. Pastor Madison's praying or ministering. Becky's leading worship. That won't be the answer. The answer will be, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the king, and he's come, and he has stirred it up, because we're not coming to invoke emotional responses from people or to build up the well or to build up the pastors or the leaders. We came to see Jesus of Nazareth high and lifted up, and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw how many? All men unto myself, not just a few, not just a handful. I can't wait till we see the day when the person in the very back corner of this auditorium is seated in that seat and they get to know Jesus Christ, because we're lifting up him. We're not lifting up a person. We're not lifting up a building. We're not lifting up an organization. We are lifting up Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only one that can save and heal and deliver, the only one that is worthy of such commotion. I believe we're going to stir up this city, not us, but him inside of us. And he wants to use us in the midst of it. One more point. I want to point one more thing out. When I say stir up the city, I'm not saying with riots and unruliness. I'm talking about people's hearts inside of them, that passion that was birthed in them at the very beginning of time to know their Creator. Because the book of Romans says all creation utterly groans and waits for what? The revealing of the sons of God. Waiting on you and waiting on me to be who God has called us to be. We want to see them stirred up, not chaos, but inside of them like, I got to know who this is. I got to know what's going on. But Jesus came riding on a donkey and a colt for a reason. Because in the ancient Middle East, a king rode a horse when he was going to war and a donkey when he was coming in peace. And they would have known this. They would have recognized this. And this should have been the first indication that Jesus was not coming to set up a kingdom as they supposed he was going to set up a kingdom. Because he came riding on a young colt that had never been ridden before. He didn't come on a war horse to strike and to have vengeance. He came in peace. Jesus was making a statement that he truly was the Prince of Peace. He was coming to give the world peace and hope, not wars and strife. And I want to see our community be a community where the peace of God rules and reigns. I'm praying for this city that there would be no murder, there would be no abuse, there would be no addiction, there would be nothing that would hinder people and would bring evil and would bring hate and would bring violence into this place. But this is going to be a community of peace, because when people know God, they get to truly understand the peace that he can bring. But our job is to be like that donkey. Just be willing, just be available. And I say to you today, I want you to hear me, every person, the Lord has need of you. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you with your family. He wants to use you in your neighborhood. He wants to use you in this community. He wants to use this church, this body of believers, to stir up the city, not to chaos, but to a place where they want to know, who is this guy? And you can say, oh, it's not me. It's not me. It's not the church. It's the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords. It's Jesus the Christ. Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me today? I'm going to ask the worship team to join me. Sorry I didn't tell y'all earlier. Brandon, can you put on a pad in the key of G? I want to just sing this. This is a chorus that's been on my heart a lot lately, and I just want to sing this for a few moments together today. If you need to get going, I fully understand, but I just want to take a few moments. What I want to ask you to do is, if you're saying, I'm ready and I'm willing, and I'll be a donkey for God, I'll let him ride on my life, and I'll let him shine through, and I want to see this city stirred up. I have friends, I have family, I have co-workers. I'm just going to ask you to come to the altar right now, in standing in the gap, in intercession for this city, to see people stirred up. And we're going to begin to sing this song, and we're going to begin to declare, and we're going to praise and worship the Lord and believe that we're going to see this city moved and stirred up with a hunger and a desire to know him. Stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow, let it overflow. Stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow, let it overflow. Sing it again. Oh, stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow, let it overflow. To my family, to my friends, to this community, to every single person that I come in contact with, God, I pray that you would stir a passion. Because listen, in order to get to them, he first has to get to you. And you have to be willing to say, God, you can change my schedule. You can change my personality. You can change what I've been doing. That mother donkey had been living in bondage, probably so much to the point where she became comfortable. She thought that's how it would always be. But somewhere you've got to say, I'm willing for you to change how I feel about things, how I think about things, so that you can reach other people and other people can see you and know you, God. Come on, sing it out. Stir a passion. Stir a passion in my heart, God, and let it overflow. Let it overflow. Come on, sing it a few more times. Oh, stir a passion in my heart, God, let it overflow. Let it overflow. Father, I ask that you would breathe upon your church. Like the wind of God blew through that upper room in the book of Acts chapter 2. And tongues of fire set upon each one. And then listen to me, church. Once that happened, they didn't stay in the upper room and see how long they could contain what was happening in the church. They stepped outside and they began to minister. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke in other tongues. And Peter began to preach and he began to declare the goodness of God and the gospel and the one that can save. And the Bible says that 3,000 people were added to the kingdom. Why? Because they weren't focused. What they didn't do is they didn't say, we got to get these people in the upper room. We got to get them up here where we're at. They understood, I have been anointed and empowered by God to go to the lost. We've got to stop expecting the lost to come to us, and we've got to go to the lost. We've got to go to the broken, to the hurting, that don't understand. And then once they become a part of the kingdom, then yes, obviously, I'm not saying they can't come here if they don't get saved first. What I'm saying is we've got to stop expecting people just to show up if we're not willing to go out and reach them with the kingdom of God. That's why we're saying, stir it inside of me, so that I can stir it inside of them. Move inside of me so that I can move with compassion like Jesus was moved with compassion. Father, we're asking for a great outpouring and that you would stir up this city with revival, God, that you would revive hearts, revive minds, touch and change people from who we've been for years and years and years, that they would see not us, not a church, not an organization, not a personality, but they would see Jesus, that we would be like John the Baptist when he said, oh, listen, the one who's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals, but prepare, I came to prepare the way of the Lord. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth. Lord, I pray that we would always point people to you and never to us. We give you ourselves. Right now, just surrender yourself to him if you want to be used by him. Just say, I understand that you have need of me, God. I understand that you want me. Well, I say, as Isaiah said, here I am, send me. I might just be a lowly donkey. I might not feel significant. I might not feel equipped, but you can use me. Do whatever you want to do.
I'd like to just proclaim this scripture. I feel like it really ties in with what we're talking about, what Pastor Spencer preached. And it says, Philippians 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I want to encourage you. I felt like the Lord was saying there's some people, you need to forget what was behind, whether it was great, whether it was good, whether it was bad. Forget what's behind. Reach forward to what's before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I felt like the Lord just wanted me to encourage you to press for the mark. Maybe you've gotten distracted. It's like, you know, the person plowing, they have to keep their eyes set on that one thing. Because if you look to the right or to the left, you might run a crooked line. And he's saying, no, encourage them. Maybe you have gotten your focus off. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Repent. Lord, please forgive me. I encourage you. Repent. Ask his forgiveness. But then he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so maybe you haven't been focused on Jesus. Maybe you haven't been focused on what he wants for your life. I encourage you this morning, ask his forgiveness, but then set your mark on going after the prize of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to pray over you this morning. morning, and then I want to pray and proclaim over the city. Father, I pray over your people this morning. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for when we haven't put our focus on you. We ask your forgiveness when we've been distracted or when we've been doing only what we want to do, going after our own agenda and our own plans, when we haven't sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but we've been seeking our own thing. We've been even seeking our own righteousness. Even we've been seeking our own religious accolades. God, I ask that you would forgive us, your people, and I pray that we would be able to set our focus on you, Jesus. We would be able to set our focus on the Word of God. We would not look to the left or to the right, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on with social media, but we would be consumed with passion. I pray that over you right now, a fire in your bosom, a fire in your innermost being that cannot be put out. I pray right now, even if you are the driest of dry, even if you have no passion, I proclaim over you right now the passion of the Lord. May passion fill your body right now. Maybe you say, I've never been able to share the gospel. I pray right now, boldness. Receive the boldness of the Holy Spirit, because the disciples, after they had been beaten, they didn't go back and cry about it. They said, give us grace and give us boldness. So I pray right now over the church of the living God, may you receive the boldness of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news to your friends, to proclaim the good news to your lost family members, to proclaim the good news to some guy on the street. I pray a release over you right now that maybe you have never been able to share the gospel. Maybe you've never been able to share a testimony. Maybe you've never even been able to say Jesus or the church in front of someone. I proclaim over you no more that you will not be bound by the spirit of fear, but you will walk by faith and not by sight. And now I encourage you, we're going to enter into a time of intercession and pray over DeKalb County. Father, we come to you right now in boldness. You said that we could approach, we could come to the throne of grace and find grace and boldness to help in time of need. And we declare the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous, over DeKalb County. We declare to the highways, to the byways, to the bars, to the prostitutes, to the drunkard, to the sluggard, to the cocaine addict, to those that are sex trafficking, we declare to you, Jesus Christ, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the name of Jesus. I proclaim that people that have never heard the name of Jesus would begin to have dreams of the rapture, would begin to have visitations, would begin to have visions of Jesus appearing to them. We ask right now salvation to the uttermost. We didn't come to have church, just have church and sit in here, but we came to see this city turned upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see every soul saved, every soul healed, every soul delivered, people living the life that they were called to live, that they were destined to live, that you created them for your glory and your honor and your praise. And we want to see every person not only saved, but living in their destiny, walking in the calling that you have for them. God, we want to see drug addicts completely free, that they'll walk through those doors and the Spirit of God will cause them to become sober, that a drunkard can walk in here falling over and he's going to be sobered up because the Spirit of God, and people that are not saved, they're driving by, they're hurting and they're broken, and the government and the news has got them so fearful that the Holy Spirit will come on them as they drive by and they'll pull into this parking lot and they'll receive the freedom of the Lord. We declare right now the name of Jesus all over DeKalb County, that there wouldn't be one person that doesn't hear, that doesn't receive salvation. We declare salvation to the uttermost. We prophesy right now, even into the spirit realm, and we say Jesus rules in DeKalb County. We prophesy that Jesus Christ rules in the heavenlies. He rules in the spirit realm. He rules in the airwaves. He rules over all principalities and dominion, no matter what's been over this area. We declare the name of Jesus, all the weirdness, all the weird heartiness that has not been of God and has stolen from real creativity. We declare the name of Jesus for the lack of identity, for the confusion in identity. We declare the name of Jesus for the broken marriages, for the depression, for the oppression, you oppressed spirit. We declare Jesus Christ.
You know, you might be thinking, how can you say that every single person, how can you say the whole city, how can you say every single person, as Pastor Massimo is declaring that, every single person? Well, I would just tell you that the Word of God says He would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I'm believing that He can do it. I'm believing that there is not one person that's too lost that He can't save. I'm believing that what He said He could do, and when He said none would perish, I believe He can do that. I also believe that with man, this is impossible. If we try to do it in our strength, based upon me, based upon you, John, we can't do it, you and me. But He can, because with God, all things are possible. So if we say anything is impossible, we are taking God out of the equation. Don't take God out of the equation, because the equation doesn't work without God. He can do it. He can save, as the book of Hebrews says, even to the uttermost. So God, right now, we just pray salvation to the uttermost, God. Think of the most lost person that you possibly, maybe you know or you just know of, and just begin to call their name right now. Salvation, salvation, salvation. He came to save the Jew and the Gentile. He came to save the one bound in religion and the one that has never even known the bridle of religion. And so, Lord, I ask that You would use us to stir up this city. Stir that passion inside of us, God. Stir that intercession inside of us. And may we see great things in the kingdom of God. And we just say, not unto us, not unto us, but to Your name be glory, be honor, be praise, be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Receive this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace, and may He use you as you walk throughout this life to stir up a hunger and a desire for people to know who Jesus is. I bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Palm Sunday. We love you guys. Hope to see you tonight in Scottsboro at 6 for the night of praise and worship. Have an awesome week. We love you.